morning, everyone, on this Good Friday morning. One of the most important days in our Christianity is what happened today many years ago. And because of what happened today, we became free. We became free of all our sins because of the blood that was shed today. Our psalm reading is Psalm 22 for today. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man a reproach of men, and despised of people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord, that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a raving and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a posterd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them, and cast lots upon my vesture. Be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye that seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in great congregation. In the great congregation, I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none shall keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him, and it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Amen. Let's continue with 91.
Thank you. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again that we can gather around your word. We thank you for the freedom we have here in Canada, and we pray that we would appreciate all the blessings. We can't even number all the blessings that you've given us, but we pray that you would open our eyes to see the blessings that we have and to be thankful for them. And we gather this, what they call a Good Friday morning. Misha is going to bring us the message, and we pray that you would open his mouth, open the hearts of each listener, that we could really understand our sinfulness and also the mercy, the amazing sacrifice that you made in giving, sending your son to fulfill all the things that we as humans are not able to fulfill. In the Bible, we see the fickleness of man as much as in ourselves, how the week before the people were heralding Jesus as their wanting to make him their natural king as he rode into Jerusalem on that donkey and laying palm branches and singing Hosanna to him. And it was only a few days later we saw how the people turned on him, those who even believed were silent and afraid, and the masses of people literally turned on Jesus and condemned him to a terrible death and the torture. We hear about how he suffered at the hands of the Romans and the Jews, and really everyone turned their back on him, and none of us are any better. But we pray that story of the crucifixion and the resurrection, that it would be real to each one of us, and that we would turn to you, our God, in thanksgiving and praise for your mercy towards us. And now let us pray that perfect prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning to everyone, and grace from God our Father and peace and greetings from our Lord Jesus Christ be with you today and forever. And usually we don't have services like today on Fridays, on Sundays usually, but today we have a special Friday. It is called Good Friday, when we remember sufferings and passions of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came to this earth in human flesh, who lived here and did only good things for people. He gave his teaching to those people who lived then and to us who live today. And then he died. He died with a terrible death on a cross. He was crucified because of our sins. And he died for our sins. And not only because of that, but because we could have eternal life and salvation in him, because he died for us. And let us turn to our text today, which is recommended by our Church Federation for this service for Good Friday. And this text is quite big today, 82 verses, and two entire chapters, chapter 18 and 19 from Gospel from John. And mostly we will hear today exact words, God's words, how it is written in Gospel of John. So we will read in portions and go forward. So let us read in Jesus' name. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Okay, so we read three verses from chapter 18. And here we see that Jesus and his disciples came to garden. It is not written name of this garden, but in other gospels, Garden of Gethsemane, but here without name. And it is interesting that it was the end of ministry of Jesus, and he was teaching people for 3 years. And in Gospels we can read many times how Pharisees and Jews, they wanted to take Jesus, and in some other places it is written that they wanted to kill him. So they wanted to kill him almost from the beginning of ministry. So we can say that they wanted to kill him for 3 years. But all the time, Jesus escaped. And I remember one time it was even written, so they surrounded him, they wanted to catch him, but he just went through them and left. And because Jesus had power, and when he didn't want to be taken, it was no problem for him. But this time, and because it wasn't time hadn't come yet then. But now this time has come, and Jesus willingly decided to give himself to Jews who were going to kill him. And so he goes to this garden, and Jesus knew that Judas, who was going to betray him, Judas knew this place. And it was very probable that Judas will come there with soldiers. And it happened exactly like this. Also, it is interesting that it is it happened in a garden. And we know that first people, Adam and Eve, they fell in sin also in a garden, but it was paradise. So in garden, people fell in sin, and death came to them. No, they didn't die there, but process started in the garden. And also in another garden, healing from this problem started also in the garden. And then verse 4, Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. So, like it is written, Jesus knew about all things, and he knew what was going to happen, and he didn't try to hide himself, but it is written, he went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? But also in previous, in verse 3, maybe we should say a little bit. So it is written here that Judas came with a lot of soldiers and officers. So maybe they expected that Jesus will be surrounded, but many people who followed him, his disciples and other people who followed him because of his miracles and healings, so they were afraid maybe that they could have some fight there. But it wasn't so. So Jesus decided to give himself to them. And he asked, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And here, interesting thing happened. So Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And as soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. So I think Jesus didn't say it with a loud voice, but it was such a power in his voice. It was God's power that they just went backward and fell to the ground. It shows us again that if Jesus wanted, he could easily to overcome them there, but he didn't do this. And next, seventh verse. Then asked him them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let this go their way. And here Jesus says, so I am here, but let these go their way. These, it means his disciples. So he didn't, Jesus didn't want disciples to suffer in any case. And how it was, he said before to his father, to God, that none of those you gave to me, they didn't suffer. So none of them was lost. Oh, it is written here, less. So that the saying might be fulfilled, which he spake, of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Yes, so he told those soldiers to allow his disciples to go freely. And verse 10, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Peter was a brave man, and he was ready to fight, and even he did, like we read here, he cut off right ear of one man in that group. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? So, and Jesus told me, come down, don't fight with them. And do you think that if my Father gives me a cup, if my Father wants me to do it or to do something, and in this case I should drink this cup and I should fulfill the will of my Father. I should do what he wants me to do. So don't prevent it. Then verse 12, then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law of Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. For the people. So we can see here that soldiers took Jesus and bound him, and they took him to house of Annas. Annas was a previous high priest and a son-in-law to the current high priest, Caiaphas. And Caiaphas, we can read before, Caiaphas and other high priests, they had a meeting, and Caiaphas gave idea that we should kill Jesus and it will be good for all of us and for all our nation. And he said, it is better to die, like it is written, that one man should die for the people. It would be better if one man will die for all people, for all nation. And then Caiaphas had his own ideas because of that. He wanted just to kill Jesus, and he thought that it would be good for him, for high priests, for Pharisees, first of all, and for all Jewish nation. But he didn't know that it was like a prophecy also, because Jesus died, one man, Jesus Christ, died, and not only for Jewish nation, not only for Jewish people, not only for those high priests and Pharisees, but he died for all mankind, including us today. And then chapter 15, and Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. So it is written that Peter followed Jesus and another disciple. And we don't see name of this another disciple, but we can understand that this another disciple was Apostle John himself, who wrote these words, these lines. But because this John, he was humble and humble man, and he didn't know even show his name, so he wrote in such a way. And then, but Peter stood at the door without, then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art now thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And here we read that later, John, another disciple, helped Peter to get in, but it was a young woman or girl before the door, and she watching situation, and he allowed people to come in. And this, like it is written, the damsel asked Peter, "Are you one of this man's disciples?" And Peter says, "I am not." But here, a little bit before, in the end of the 13th chapter, verse 37, 38, we read, Peter said unto him, when Jesus said that I am going where I should go, and Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. And here we read that Peter denied Jesus for the first time. And then verse 18, And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. So we see that servants and people were standing outside, and it was cold, and they made a fire and warmed themselves, and Peter was with them. And the high priest started his interrogation of Jesus, and first he asked him about his disciples and his doctrine. About his disciples, he asked, maybe he hoped to get some information that Jesus had a group of people which had a desire to take a power or to make a rebellion, so some disorder, and it would be a good reason for them to accuse him and to kill. Because even the Romans, they didn't like any rebels. And also he asked him about his doctrine, about his teaching, again with the hope that he could find some contradiction with the teaching of Moses, with the Old Testament, how we call it today. And again, it was a reason to accuse Jesus. But Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing. So Jesus said, I didn't say anything secretly, so I didn't make any plot, I didn't try to do any disorder. And then Jesus continues, Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when Jesus said so, ask them which heard me. So he probably meant those people who were standing around him, because probably all people, majority of those people who lived in Israel at that time, at least one time they listened to Jesus directly. So everybody knew about Jesus. He was very famous. And just he maybe showed to people around him and who stood around him, those soldiers and officers. And he said, ask them. They heard me. They know what I said. Ask them. So, behold, they know what I said. And maybe he pointed to some people around him. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his head, saying, answerest thou the high priest so? And maybe one officer who was maybe the closest or very close to Jesus then, he was, when he heard the words of Jesus, asked those who listened to me, maybe he was afraid that he could be like a suspect. They could think that he was also follower of Jesus. And he struck Jesus with the palm of his hand because of that, maybe, and asked, how do you speak with the high priest? Answerest thou the high priest so? How do you speak with such important man? So maybe he wanted just to hide himself, so to remove suspicious from himself. And then verse 23. Jesus answered to this officer, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. So if I said something bad, just prove it. So explain with words and show to everybody where I said something incorrect. But if well, if I speak well, why smitest thou me? So we can say that this first attempt of high priests in the house of Annas, it didn't have good result for them. So they couldn't accuse Jesus, not in political attempts, in trying to do some political disorders, some rebellion, and they also couldn't prove anything about his teaching. And because of that, they decided to bring him to another point. And verse 24. Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest. So now they sent him directly to high priest himself. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. So we see here that Peter denied it, Jesus, for the second time. One of the servants of the high priests, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Didn't I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. So, and we see that Peter denied Jesus for the third time. So this prediction, I don't say that prophecy, but prediction of Jesus about Peter and his denial was fulfilled, as we can see. And we cannot blame Peter that he denied. He was a man. He was a weak man at that time, though he was a disciple of Jesus, but he was no difference like we are. And sometimes I think that in many places when we read about disciples of Jesus, we read in one place they didn't understand him, in another place they were afraid, they were weak, and so on. But I think it is good for us, because if all those disciples were like Superman from some movie, Hollywood movie, some Superman, he's running quickly, he's jumping, he's shooting, he's, and when we look at him, we think, oh, we cannot do like this. He's a Superman. He's not like we are. But when we look at those disciples, when we look at those disciples, we can say they are exactly like me, like you. They disciples like we are. So they didn't understand, and we don't understand. They couldn't do something, and we couldn't do. They slept when it they shouldn't shouldn't sleep, and we do the same, and so on, and so on, and so on. They are not much better, but then later we see that those disciples became very strong men, even much stronger than any superhero from any Hollywood movie. But why? Because not their own power, because the power which was given to them by God, by Jesus. And we can also see and say that it also can happen with us. And we can be also stronger, and we have more power than any superhero from any movie, from fiction, or how it is, action, fiction. So, but in life, and we know a lot of examples in life, when not only disciples of Jesus, but for many centuries, and even around us, we know such people who showed huge courage and strength in life because of God, and when they follow Jesus. And also, I would like here that we live in interesting time and events, and maybe we live in a time of big changes. And who knows, maybe not all of us, maybe some of us who are older will go to heaven, but who are younger, but who knows, maybe time is going fast, maybe, and we older guys also will meet such situation when also we will be asked that question. Are you disciple of Jesus? And let us pray that God gives us courage and strength to give a correct answer then. But now I don't deny such possibility. Okay, then verse 28. Then led the Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. So we know it was the time of Passover, Jewish holiday, and when they brought, they led the Jews from Caiaphas. And from Caiaphas, they in Caiaphas' office or house, they also didn't succeed. They didn't find any proof against Jesus. And they decided to bring him to Pilate, a Roman ruler of Judea. And when they brought him to the hall of judgment, they didn't get inside, because it was time of Passover, and they were going to eat it later that day, that Passover or sacrificial lamb, but they didn't get into the judgment hall because they didn't want to be defiled. So it is interesting, they considered if they get inside of the judgment hall, they will be defiled. But when they were going to kill a man, innocent man, it doesn't defile them. It was okay. So it shows us again their nature of those Jews, of those Pharisees and high priests. And Pilate then, so they came to Pilate. Pilate was, you know, everybody that Pilate was a ruler of Judea who was appointed by Caesar from Rome. So he had a huge power there, huge authority. And Pilate then went out unto them and said, "What accusation bring ye against this man?" They answered and said unto him, "If he were not a malefactor, we wouldn't have delivered him up unto thee." So Pilate, it was asked them natural question, "Why did you bring this man here? What accusation do you have against him? What did he, do?" And they answered, they didn't say directly, "Oh, he did this and this and this, so he committed this crime or that." But but they said, "If he were not a malefactor, we wouldn't have delivered him up unto thee." In fact, they didn't have direct accusations against Jesus, and they answered Pilate's question with such answer. Then said Pilate unto them, "Take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews thereof are." And Pilate said, so Pilate quite spoke to them with good reasons. He said, "Take him and judge him according to your law." You have your own law, and you judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to death." And Jews said that we can judge him according to our law, but we cannot sentence him to death, and we cannot kill him, in fact. And they didn't, even before trial, they already put the task just to kill him. So before trial, so like it was order for his death, for Jesus of death. So because they could to have a honest trial to judge him according to the law, and who knows, maybe judge didn't find him guilty enough for death, but they wanted, doesn't matter reasons and questions and answers, but he must be dead after all. So they said like this. So it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. And then 32, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. And again, fulfillment of words of Jesus about his death. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me?" So Jesus asked him, "Do you say it yourself, or somebody else told it about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" So Pilate says, "So your people, Jewish people, your own people brought you to me, and what hast thou done? What did you do?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." And Jesus says that my kingdom is not of this world. And then he says a natural thing. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews? But now is my kingdom not from hence. So Jesus says, my kingdom not here. So I don't have any ideas to be a political leader, to be a politician, and I don't have any intent to take a power. So because my kingdom is not of this world. And Pilate understood it, and he said, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is on the truth heareth my voice. And Jesus says that you say that I am a king. And Jesus says that he was born because he came to this world, and he should bring witness about the truth. So Jesus says that he came to the world, and we know about it, and he brought truth from God himself. And he taught people, he taught his disciples about that God's truth. And everyone that is on the truth heareth my voice. So, and it was, Pilate was touched somehow by these words. And Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And here we see that Jesus came to his own people, to Jewish people, and he spoke a lot to them. He taught them, and many of Jews followed him, but mostly because of miracles and healings which Jesus did. But not so many of them understood his teaching, and not so many followed him because of his teaching. But here we see that Pilate, he was a pagan, but somehow he was touched by words of Jesus. And later when Jesus ascended to heaven and the first church was created, and the Holy Ghost descended to apostles, and they began their ministry, we could see that not so many Jews became Christians. But when Apostle Paul began his ministry, so a lot of pagan people became Christians, and it was much easier for them to become Christians than for Jews. And even here, Pilate, of course, he didn't become a disciple of Jesus, but something was in his soul. He somehow believed words of Jesus, and he understood him. And he asked him, Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? What is truth? And his conversation went, it was an interrogation, but it was a conversation about eternal things. But those high priests were around, and when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. So, and after this conversation, Pilate goes out and he tells Jews, I didn't find any fault in him, so he's innocent, and I think he should go free. And then Pilate tried to find some way to save Jesus. And he thought about one opportunity. It is written there, 39. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? And it was a custom that before Passover, the ruler, governor of the region, had authority to release one prisoner. And he offered the Jews, I can release Jesus. And verse 40, then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. So Pilate offered them to free Jesus, but the crowd, and heated by high priests and the Pharisees, they cried, not this man, don't release Jesus, but release Barabbas. And Barabbas was a robber, and he was probably even a murderer, so he was a bad criminal man. So, and this is choice they made, so those people made. So it was a choice to free completely innocent people who didn't do anything bad, and almost all of them were witnesses of this. None of them could, nobody said that, oh, nobody witnessed against Jesus, in fact, we see. Nobody witnessed, nobody said, oh, this man did something bad. So, but they didn't want Jesus to be free, but they, instead, they wanted to release a real criminal, Barabbas. And it was done like this. And then, next chapter, 19. So this is a big text, but I think it is good because it is a good report, good description of those things which happened with Jesus just for one day, that Friday. And we could maybe shorten it, but it's better to read. So then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. So then Pilate decided, okay, so you don't want to free him, I will punish him with a scourging, with beating, and quite a serious beating. And maybe after that life of Jesus will be saved. So, and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. So, and those soldiers, they mocked on Jesus, so they made this thorn crown and put on him a purple robe. This is like attributes or things for kings. And said, Hail, King of the Jews, and they smote him with their hands. So Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth for you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. So after scourging, Pilate tells the Jews again. So okay, he's beaten now, but I find now fault in him, and maybe now he can go free. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. So Pilate wanted to make a good impression about Jesus in those Jews. But when the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. So Jews began to cry, Crucify him, crucify him. But Pilate says, I don't find any fault in him. Took him and crucify themselves. And Pilate knew that they couldn't crucify him, but he says, crucify themselves. Then Jews answered him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. So, first Jews said, they told Pilate, that Jesus called himself King of the Jews, and it was a political crime. But it didn't work, so Pilate didn't see that. So that reason failed. It didn't work. And then Jews tried to do another attempt. So they find a spiritual reason, because he made himself the Son of God, the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. And so they said, this man said that he was Son of God, and when Pilate heard these words, he was afraid even more. So it, and it says against difference between Pilate, this pagan, this Roman, and because between those Jews, spiritual believers, and the best people in the world. And Pilate, probably, maybe he heard a little bit about Jesus, maybe even know, because only Pilate's wife told him about Jesus. Probably he didn't know about him. But those Jews, they knew Jesus very well. They many times heard him speaking his words, and all of them saw his works, and works witnessed that they were from God. So, but those Jews, those believers, didn't believe in Son of God. If Jesus did his works, miracles, and it was obvious that it was from God, and if he did such works from God, probably he was a real Son of God, but they rejected this. Yeah, so they were in fact spiritually blind. But Pilate, even we read that saying, he was the more afraid. But when Pilate heard that Jesus was Son of God, he was afraid. So he had in himself, though he didn't believe maybe in God, but he had from nature, from the beginning, he had some fear of God, Pilate. And again, Pilate looks here better than those Jews, and went again into the judgment hall. So Pilate was trying again to save Jesus, and he go again into the judgment hall, like to do investigation, and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Whence? So before it was question of Pilate, what did you do? But now he asks, whence are you? Whence art thou? So Pilate understood that, so where did you come from, in fact, he asks Pilate. So he understood that Jesus wasn't an ordinary man, but Jesus gave him no answer. So why Jesus didn't answer him? Probably because he knew that it was in vain to answer Pilate's questions, because Pilate, maybe he wasn't a too bad, he wasn't a bad man, and he wanted to save Jesus, but under pressure of Jews, he was soft, and he was weak, and he couldn't resist to this pressure from Jews, And Jesus even did want to speak to him. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? So Pilate asks a strong question probably. So do you know that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? So I have a big power. But in fact we see maybe he has a formal power to release him, but he cannot do it because Pilate was a weak man. He couldn't do it. And verse 11, Jesus answered, Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. So Jesus says, You don't have any power against me. This power, you have some power, but it was given you from above. He means that it was a plan of God, all these things. And God allows you to do it. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And here he continues, and he says that Pilate has a sin. It was sin, but those Jews and Judas and high priests and Pharisees who brought Jesus to Pilate, they had the greater sin. So, and this sin, bigger sin is on them. And from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him. Again, Pilate wanted many times to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. So he wanted to release, Pilate wanted to release Jesus, but Jews began to threat him with Caesar, with a Roman greatest ruler, king who was there. And he said, if you release this man, you are not friend of Caesar. And maybe they meant that they could complain to Caesar. And Pilate was afraid about himself, about life. And written here, 13, when Pilate heard that saying, he was afraid, and he said, okay, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he said unto the Jews, Behold your king. So, and again, maybe the last attempt of Pilate to save Jesus. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king by Caesar. No king by Caesar, but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. So, and all Pilate's attempts failed, and he allowed them to crucify Jesus. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. So Pilate gave his permission for crucifixion and led him away. And he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. So, and Jesus was bearing his cross, and we know about that Jesus was carrying his cross, and why? Because this crucifixion also, it was maybe, probably there were other means of execution. So Jesus could be killed with another way, but also Jews wanted to put Jesus in disgrace, that they wanted to him to die with a shameful death. And crucifixion was a very shameful death. Only very bad criminals were executed with crucifixion. So, and they wanted not only just to kill Jesus, but to put him in disgrace, to shame. And they wanted him to be crucified. And this death on the cross, on the cross to be crucified, was disgrace, was shameful. And even that cross was unclean, they considered it. And they didn't want to defile themselves, even to touch to this cross. And because of that, Jesus had to carry his cross himself. So, where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side, one, and Jesus in the midst. So, and they also not just crucified Jesus, but they decided to crucify him together with obvious criminals, two criminals, really bad people. And Jesus just one of them. Jesus, so there are three people who were crucified. All of them are criminals. All of them are, I don't know, robbers or something like this. And one is one man, another one some Jesus, and another criminal. So they wanted Jesus to be one of those terrible criminals, because the other two criminals were crucified with him. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. So, and Pilate made this plate, a title, and put it on the cross. And it was like Pilate's attempt to soften situation, maybe to save reputation of Jesus even after his death. So he wanted to make Jesus different from those two criminals. And because he wrote Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, and on three languages it was written. But, of course, Jews didn't like it, and then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. So they wanted to change it, but here Pilate was firm. He didn't change his decision. And Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. So, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. So, and soldiers, it was a custom, when soldiers could possess, could have things of a crucified person. And they divided his garments, like we read here. And but his coat was only one coat, and it was woven from the top throughout. And it was impossible to divide this coat into four pieces. They said, therefore, among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. So, but here we see that all this was prophesied. So here a lot of prophecies fulfilled, even in this, so they cast lot, and so on, and so prophecies which were made many, many years ago, now they were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Even such small details like his garments and coat, and they cast lots for it. All these things were prophesied. And then verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Jesus was on the cross, but he was taking care about his mother. He was dying, Jesus was dying, and mother was alone, and he said, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. In fact, Jesus said, Woman, now your son is John. This another disciple whom he loved, it was John who wrote these words. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. So, and from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. And John, Apostle John, took Mary, and he became his mother, and he became her son, and he took care about her until the end. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. So, and now all prophecies were fulfilled. Everything was done. And Jesus said, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So, and they gave him to drink vinegar, not water, but again it wasn't good. So when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. It is finished. So first Jesus said, So I finished all my ministry. I finished all things I came why I came here to the earth. I finished my task which I was given by God, Father. So he did everything. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. But also interesting order. He bowed his head first and then gave up the ghost. Usually people die, they give up the ghost and then bow their head. But here, different order, because Jesus wasn't ordinary man. Even here, his God's power was shown. He is master of death also. And verse 31. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies shouldn't remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So Jews, because it was the end of Friday and Sabbath day, and it was a special Sabbath day was coming, and Jews asked Pilate to break legs of those three people, So to and when legs were broken for a crucified person, so death came to him sooner. So to let them die sooner. So and it was done. Then came the soldiers and break the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. So soldiers came and they broke legs of one criminal, then broke legs of the other criminal. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they break not legs. So they didn't break legs of Jesus. And again, it was fulfillment of a prophecy. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out, and forthwith came there out blood and water. So, first about broken legs. So it was fulfilled old prophecy from book of Exodus, Exodus 12:46. So very, very beginning of Old Testament. And it was instruction given by God to Moses how to eat Passover, or this sacrificial lamb, who can eat it, and so on. And it is written, 12:46 Exodus, in one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. Neither shall ye break a bone thereof. So it was instruction. And we know that Jesus was that sacrificial lamb, not just for family. When that Jews made a sacrificial lamb in their house, it was a sacrificial lamb for this house. But Jesus was sacrificial lamb for all mankind. But everything must be exact, and all prophecies should be fulfilled. And bones of Jesus were not broken. So, but instead of this, like we read, one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Also interesting thing, blood and water came out from Jesus. But blood was interesting. He was already dead, and maybe blood shouldn't go out. But blood went out, and also water. And it was another miracle. It was another miracle. But also it was interesting, like sign. Some people say, even today I hear it, some people say, the world is ruled by symbols and signs. And today we see symbols and signs everywhere. For example, 9/11, Twin Towers in New York City were destroyed. There are a lot of days, but 9/11, so symbols and sign, and a lot. We can see those signs even telephone over when we call fire or which number? 9/11 again. And I heard that it wasn't all the time in America. All only from maybe 80s, something like this. 50 years ago it wasn't like 9/11 or 60. But symbols and sign, they ruled the world. So, and here, but also here in the Bible. And blood and water went out of Jesus. And what does it mean? So this is what means blood and water in spiritual sense. What does it mean for church? We become, what is, I don't know. It can take much time to consider just one verse here, but let us try briefly. So what is water? Water is a word, God's word, and we come to faith through this water. And we are baptized also with water. So, and blood, what does it mean, blood? Blood, we have this spiritual food from God through blood of Jesus. And also, Jesus is a sacrificial lamb. And what did Jews, old Jews, what did they do with sacrificial lamb? They were eating it. And Jesus is sacrificial lamb. And also we know that Jesus is the word. And when we consume, when we read, when we listen to God's word preached, we consume this spiritual word. Or spiritual food, and this spiritual food is Jesus. When we consume God's word, and God's word is Jesus, so we consume, we eat sacrificial blood or sacrificial. So we eat sacrificial lamb. We eat this spiritual food when we read God's word and when we listen God's word. Yeah. And then 35. And he that saw it bear record, and his record is true. And he knows that he saith true, that he might believe. Here John speaks about himself, that he witnessed everything there, and he described everything exactly, and his words are correct and true, and that, and we can believe even today. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. So, and in other prophecies, even when soldier pierced his side with a spear, again it was fulfillment of old prophecy. So Jesus died, and what after this? But Jesus died, but God continued working on this. So he arranged everything. So, and let us read how. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. So we read that Joseph came to Pilate and asked Pilate to give him body of Jesus. And this Joseph was a nobleman. He wasn't just ordinary guy, and maybe even he knew Pilate himself. But it is written here that he was disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. So, and Nicodemus, we know about Nicodemus, and Nicodemus brought myrrh and aloe, about 100 pound weight. And those two people, Pilate allowed Joseph to take body of Jesus. And Joseph and Nicodemus, they made a very, very good funeral for Jesus. It is so he wasn't buried like a criminal, because criminal, maybe other two criminals crucified, I don't know about their funeral. Maybe Of course, they were not buried like Jesus. At verse 14, then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. So Joseph and Nicodemus, and probably with help of some servants, other people, so they used this myrrh and aloes, so all spices. So they used a lot of such things. Why? To prevent decomposing of the body. So they wanted dead body of Jesus to be in good condition for a long time. Like now, it is written somehow, rich people are buried. So a lot of also things they do. Even I read they have special coffins with lights inside, and music plays there, and music can play for a month or half of year, I don't know. Yeah, I read about this. So those Joseph and Nicodemus, they took those spices, myrrh, to prevent dead body from decaying. Yeah, but they didn't even understand. So their attitude to Jesus, they didn't think about him that he was Son of God. And nobody, even Peter and John, they didn't think of Jesus that he was Son of God. Joseph and Nicodemus thought about Jesus that he was a great teacher. He was a very good man and healer, and so they relate to him like just a very good man, and they buried him like this. And then 41, 42. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. And again, so because Sabbath day was coming, it was very close, and they, 42, there laid the Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. And they buried Jesus in a new sepulchre, which was not far, which was nigh at hand. So, and it was, when we read it, it seems like it was by chance. But in fact, everything was arranged by God. So Jesus was buried in a new sepulchre. Nobody was there. And again, it symbolizes. Everything is a symbol here. So even this new sepulchre, why new? Oh, okay. And also it was not far, it was nigh at hand. And because of it was nigh at hand, maybe in another day, Jesus could be buried relatively far away. But because it was nigh at hand, because it was close, because of that Jews sent soldiers to be around the sepulchre, and disciples could come there. So everything was arranged by God. So and now our text is finished. So we read, so it was a long text, but we read about everything which happened with Jesus Christ on the last day of his earthly life. So, and now we stop here. So Jesus is dead, he is in his tomb with a lot of spice and myrrh, and his body was able to be there without decomposing for a long time. But in fact, we know that body of Jesus was in this tomb not so long time, maybe less than 36 hours, I think, not so long time. So maybe those myrrh and spices were wasted. No, we can say it wasn't necessary. So, but this is another story. We will speak about it in 2 days, but today. So, and let us pray. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity together again in church and to be around your word. And we thank you for each person who is here today. But above all, we thank you for your dear Son, Jesus Christ, who came to us sinners, and he gave us hope, and who gave us salvation from our own sins, our terrible sins, and without whom, without him, we, I don't know even, so we would perish in hell. So without this, dear Son, Jesus Christ, and bless us and keep us, and allow us to be in your word and bring us finally to your salvation, to your final salvation, and give us strength and faith to be courage and strong against anything we could face in future. And I would like to finish just with words with the first hymn. I didn't know it much, but I like those in reference. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee. Let us, all of us, give ourselves to Jesus. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee. And final hymn.